Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
Hey, it's our literature unit, and we are focused in on one of the great plays of Shakespeare, one of his tragedies. Shakespeare wrote tragedies, comedies, and histories. Probably his most famous, most successful plays are the comedies and the tragedies. But this is a really popular tragedy. It's got really great roles in it that people can sometimes relate to. You make decisions that aren't really good, and then you live to regret them. You don't have to actually murder anybody. Sometimes you just choose to do things that aren't right or hurt somebody. Maybe they hurt their feelings. And then one day you just wish that you hadn't done it and you feel terrible. There are lots of things you can learn through this play of Macbeth. And there's some great roles for actors and actresses. Lady Macbeth is a great part. Macbeth is a great part. And even the King Duncan's a great part.
So far, what has happened so far is that Macbeth and Banquo met the witches there, and the witches gave them this prophecy that Macbeth would be king and Banquo would be the father of kings. And Macbeth tries to speed up the process by killing King Duncan. And, of course, he's encouraged by his wife, Lady Macbeth, and eventually Macbeth becomes king of Scotland. But he feels guilty about it, and, of course, this kind of leads to his demise later on in the play, which we'll get to today. So let's jump into our lesson for today. Let's read the entire contents and find out what happens next.
Macbeth seeks out the three witches once more, hoping for hints about his future that will ease his tortured mind. First, they warn him to beware of Macduff, another Scottish lord. Yet they also say, none of women born can harm Macbeth, nor shall he be defeated until the forest of Birnam Wood marches to Dunsinane Hill. Believing this impossible, Macbeth assumes he is destined to succeed. He now becomes a tyrant, believing he can neither be overthrown nor redeemed. Macbeth no longer shrinks from bloody deeds. He sends murderers to kill Macduff and his entire family. Macduff is away, but his family suffers a dreadful fate. Lady Macbeth, on the other hand, is overcome with guilt for her part in Duncan's murder. She begins sleepwalking and confesses her crimes in her sleep. Meanwhile, Duncan's son, Malcolm, forms an alliance with Macduff. Their armies march to Dunsinane, where Macbeth holds a fortified position. The soldiers use branches from Birnam Wood as camouflage, and thus the forest seems to advance on Dunsinane. Macbeth hears that Lady Macbeth has committed suicide. He despairs of life, calling it short and empty, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. With everything lost, he starts to long for death. Yet he refuses to surrender and let his enemies bring him down. Confident in the witch's words, he leads his men into battle. After slaughtering many of his enemies, Macbeth confronts Macduff and boasts of his supposed invulnerability. Macduff, however, reveals that he was born by a cesarean section, hence, not of woman born. Macbeth knows he is beaten, but is determined to die fighting. Macduff kills him and cuts off his head, bringing peace to Scotland.
All right, let's continue to summarize Macbeth, or the tragedy of Macbeth. It's all about ambition and anguish. And let's find out what happens next. Remember, Macbeth is now king, but he kind of feels guilty about it. Macbeth seeks out the three witches once more, hoping for hints about his future that will ease his tortured mind. Now, in the play of Macbeth, these witches appear many times in stormy weather, so he goes to look for them. He wants some advice from them, because remember, they gave him the prophecy about his future and about the future of Banquo. But Macbeth is just not sure about his future, so he wants to talk to the witches to see if they'll tell him something that will help him ease his anxiety.
Yeah, if you have a tortured mind, there's something inside you that is not allowing you to feel any peace. You feel terrible. You know, people can torture other people, especially in war, and try to get information out of them by hurting them. But you can also have a tortured mind where you just can't sleep, eat, think. It's just you're constantly thinking about something, and you can't rest or relax. So he goes to see the witches, hoping they'll give him some more clues or hints about his future. Now, first, they warn him to beware of Macduff, another Scottish lord. So Macduff and Macbeth were kind of on the same level in terms of their power before Macbeth became king, that is, after killing the king. So they tell him, hey, watch out for this guy, Macduff. If you beware of something, it just means you're very cautious around that person or whatever is in your future. You're alert to some kind of danger that might happen. Beware. We don't actually say beware too much in just casual conversation. Maybe someone has some dogs at their home that are very vicious, and we might say, hey, beware of the dogs there. You could use it that way. Or just be careful around those dogs. They're really mean. But beware just means to be very careful about some sort of danger.
You might just see the word beware by itself with an exclamation point.
True.
Beware, dangerous water. Do not go swimming here, etc.
Beware of falling rocks.
There
I've
you
seen
go.
That
That's a good
on
one.
A road. Yeah, on a road. If you're in your car, beware of falling rocks.
You'll probably see that sign on the East Coast in a lot of places.
Uh-huh.
But in any case here, the witches warn him to watch out for Macduff. Be careful around Macduff. Beware of Macduff. He is another Scottish lord. Yet they also say none of woman born can harm Macbeth, nor shall he be defeated until the forest of Birnam Wood marches to Dunsinane Hill. So these are some other prophecies. They say, yeah, nobody can harm you, at least nobody who is born of a woman. And we think, well, gee, everybody has a mother, so he could easily think that he is invincible.
Right.
He cannot be defeated because, hey, everybody's born of a woman, so I should be okay there. And then he won't be defeated until a forest actually moves from one place to another. That sounds pretty impossible.
Yeah.
How do you move a bunch of trees from a forest to another location? That's probably not going to happen either. So he's pretty confident here that he will never be defeated.
Yeah, so he went to the witches hoping for some hints, and they gave him great hints, actually. They turn out to be true, but he takes them the wrong way. So the hints actually ended up not helping him, but hurting him. Because if somebody had told me this forest, you know, this group of trees are going to, you know, make their way or march towards another destination, I would kind of laugh at them. But you'll find out why these hints actually came true. The prophecies came true. Moving on to the next paragraph, it says, he now becomes a tyrant. A tyrant is a leader, a dictator, who treats people horribly. He holds all the power. We actually have tyrants right now in the world who lead their countries pretty horribly. And if you do something that makes them angry, they don't even, you know, talk about a punishment. They just kill you. So he is a tyrant. He's turned into an awful person. He's cruel. He's mean. And he uses power in any way he can to keep his throne, I guess you could say. So he's not a good guy.
Yep, he's a tyrant, he's a dictator, and he deserves to be impeached, if you know what that means. But in any case, believing he can neither be overthrown nor redeemed, Macbeth no longer shrinks from bloody deeds. So he believes he cannot be overthrown, nor can he be redeemed. So here we've got that neither nor pattern. He can neither be overthrown, nor can he be redeemed. If you're overthrown, that means somebody basically kicks you out of your position and they take over. So maybe somebody will kill him or get him accused of a crime or something and sent to jail, and somebody else will become king, so he will be overthrown. But he thinks he cannot be overthrown, and he also believes he cannot be redeemed. If you're redeemed, that means you become a good guy again.
Yeah, it means you've done some bad things, but you feel bad for it, and you try to get rid of those faults that you have and try to be a good person from then on. Macbeth no longer shrinks from bloody deeds. Oh, it no longer bothers him to kill people. He doesn't even think twice about it. And he sends murderers, these are the assassins, to kill Macduff and his entire family. His wife, his kids, everybody. So Macduff, luckily at that point, is away. Sadly, his family isn't. They're at home in the castle, and those murderers kill his entire family. We're calling this act dreadful. It says here, his family suffers a dreadful fate. This is what happens to them at the end. Dreadful. Dreadful is pretty bad, pretty awful. Sometimes I try to do my hair, and the weather's bad, so it ends up looking dreadful, horrible, bad, dreadful. We actually still use this word as an adjective, dreadful. It can cause a lot of suffering and fear and happiness. Sometimes we're stuck with having a job that's kind of dreadful. We don't enjoy it. It's horrible.
Or dreadful weather, too.
Yeah, dreadful weather. The weather's dreadful today. Yeah, so sadly, he doesn't succeed in killing Macduff, sadly for Macbeth, but he does kill his family. At least his murderers do, his assassins.
Right, so Macbeth is having some problems there. But meanwhile, Lady Macbeth is also having some problems.
Yeah.
His wife. So Lady Macbeth, on the other hand, is overcome with guilt for her part in Duncan's murder.
Mm-hmm.
So when she actually encouraged Macbeth to commit the crime, she didn't seem to be too guilty about that. Go ahead and kill him.
Just kill him.
Yeah, just do it. You deserve to be king and I deserve to be queen. But here she has a conscience. She actually feels guilty about playing part in Duncan's murder. She didn't actually stab him herself, but still she encouraged Macbeth to do it. So she was complicit in this crime. She was part of the crime. So she's starting to feel guilty. And she begins sleepwalking and confesses her crimes in her sleep. Maybe you know somebody who sleepwalks. Basically, they get up at night and walk around, even though they're still asleep.
Yeah, my brother did it. You could actually have a conversation with him, which was weird. And he was still sound asleep with his eyes open. So she begins sleepwalking, and this happens to guilty people sometimes. They'll actually confess their crimes while they're asleep, whether they're sleepwalking or talking in their sleep. It does happen. So meanwhile, Duncan's son Malcolm forms an alliance with Macduff. So remember, Duncan is the king that was killed, and his son is Malcolm, and he starts working together with Macduff. They're going to take down Macbeth between the two of them. We're going to talk more about how they go about that, but first, we're going to take a quick break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 我们今天要继续来看第十五单元。我们这个文章的内容谈的是马克白。那我们也知道这是 Shakespeare 的四大悲剧之一。我们在前面就提到了这个故事的发展。Macbeth 跟 Banquo 听了女巫的这一番预言之后，当然 Macbeth 他权力欲望大增，最后在这种野心之大，让他想要拥有权力，然后做掉了苏格兰王。 Banquo 也因为猜测 Macbeth 是杀死国王的人，而最后遭到了 Macbeth 的杀害。那这个故事接下来 Macbeth 我们知道他成了王之后，他其实也充满了罪恶感，结果苏格兰其实在他的统治之下，事实上是备受折磨的。Macbeth 他因为有罪恶感，他心灵受了折磨，他想再去找那三位女巫。他见了女巫之后呢，女巫就警告他 Beware of Macduff。 Beware 这是一个动词，当你讲要注意什么事，用 beware 这个动词，后面可以用 of 再加名词，或者是用 that再加一个子句，那这个地方是接 off， 因为后面是一个人名 Macduff， 所以他们警告说你要担心另外一个人。他们还说啊，你不用担心，没有一个任何人由妇女所生的人可以伤害你。看到这句话 None of woman born can harm Macbeth， 我们晓得诶，这句 None of woman born 其实就是表示None means nobody. Nobody that is born of woman, 也就是由女人生出来的。它是要用 of 这个介系词，然后再加 woman born。也就是说，介系词后面这个片语修饰前面的 none。那这样一讲，似乎 Macbeth 可以心安。他们还说了一件事， Nor shall he be defeated。我们要了解 nor 这个字当然是一个连接词，但是你用 nor 的连接词的时候，注意到你表示也不会也不是，你后面是一个倒装句，所以先看到 shall he be defeated， 这个倒装当然是因为 nor 的关系，这是一个否定的字眼。那他还说他将也不会被击败被打垮，除非说伯南森林它会像邓西嫩山丘移动。好，这个说法当然就让 Macbeth 更相信这不会发生，所以他一定会成功。再来下面继续事情怎么发展呢？现在的 Macbeth 是一个 tyrant， 也就是暴君，那他相信自己绝对不会被推翻，也相信他也没办法获得救赎。好，注意到这里 neither nor， 我们刚刚提到 nor， 它基本上这是一个否定的字眼，会有倒装，那这个地方的 neither nor 放在一起是另外一个连接词偏语的用法，就是既不会怎样也无法怎样。再往下， Macbeth 其实是不会因为他自己的行为而退缩，那这里有一个偏语 shrink from。故事的发展当然牵涉到了是他的太太，我们知道 Macbeth 的太太其实在杀害国王的这件事是个共谋共犯，而他自己也因为参与这个谋杀而深感罪恶，结果呢开始梦游，在梦中承认罪行。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about Macbeth here. We've got Macbeth, the tyrant of Scotland, and we've got Malcolm and Macduff. They are teaming up to defeat Macbeth, so their armies march to Dunsinane, where Macbeth holds a fortified position. Fortified means he's got lots of defenses there, lots of weapons. It is strengthened, it is very strong, and he cannot be defeated there.
Yeah, it's a fortified position. We'll often use this word fortified, guys, when we buy, for example, breakfast cereal. It'll be full of grains and maybe some nuts, maybe some berries, but they'll also add extra vitamins in it. Or even loaves of bread, they'll fortify the bread so they put more vitamins in it. Or milk, sometimes they fortify our milk as well. They make it better.Stronger, more healthy. Here, we're talking about the castle. Where Macbeth has a very strong castle. Very hard to attack a castle back then. Now, the soldiers use branches from Birnam wood as camouflage. Camouflage is when you try to blend in with your surroundings. Could be that you're wearing clothes that are made, of colors or, you know, that match the forest or match the desert. Soldiers often dress in camouflage. camouflage. They don't want to be seen by the enemy. Well, they use branches and they put them on their bodies and they march forward. And it actually looks like a forest, you know, a bunch of trees are advancing on Dunsinane or coming toward Dunsinane Hill where Macbeth is.
They use this term advance on in military, talk. Your soldiers are moving forward toward the enemy. You're advancing on the enemy. So here they are advancing on Dunsinane. They are approaching Dunsinane. And Macbeth hears that Lady Macbeth has committed suicide. So things seem to be going badly for Macbeth here. The actual forest is actually moving in a sense from Birnam Wood to Dunsinane. So that prophecy is coming true. And also Macbeth's dear wife has done herself in. She has committed suicide. And he despairs of life, calling it short and empty, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So if you despair for something, that means you feel sad about something. You kind of feel disappointed. You feel a great sense of loss. And so he despairs of life. Life isn't so great. Everybody says they love life, but I'm pessimistic here. Life actually is terrible. It's really short and it's empty. It's full of sound and fury. It's got lots of, a lot of fluff, you know, a lot of stuff that makes it sound good, but it actually doesn't mean anything.
Right. This is a very famous phrase from the play Macbeth. So you see those quotation marks around there. Full of sound and fury. Fury is a lot of anger, you could say, a lot of noise. But after all of that, he says life just doesn't mean anything. He made some bad choices in his life, unfortunately. So with everything lost, he no longer has his friends. He's tried to kill his friends. His wife has killed herself. He feels like he has nothing left, and he starts to long for death. To long for something means you really want something so badly. Very late at night, I often long for some ice cream or I long for a piece of chocolate cake. But he longs for death. I think his conscience just won't go away. He can't find any peace. You know, his wife couldn't either. That's why she killed herself. Yet he refuses to surrender. If you surrender to your enemy, you say, I give up. Do what you want with me. He refuses to do that, and he wants his enemies to actually bring him down or kill him. So he's confident in the witch's words as he leads his men into battle. Oh, interesting. Even at this point, he still thinks he's not going to be killed because of what the witches told him.
So he's depressed. He wants to die, but he doesn't want to lose the battle. So he's confident that the witch's prophecy is going to come true. So he continues to fight in the next battle. Now, after slaughtering many of his enemies, Macbeth confronts Macduff and boasts of his supposed invulnerability. So first of all, we got the verb slaughter, which means usually to kill an animal. You might be raising some pigs or something, and then you'll take them to have them slaughtered so that you can make meat out of them, pig's knuckle or pork chops or bacon or whatever. You slaughter the pig. But we can also use this to refer to killing lots and lots of people, especially if it's a massacre or if it's in war, in a battle.
Yeah, when the people that were killed have no chance to defend themselves, you'll often see that word used. It's a horrible word if someone has slaughtered a lot of innocent people. For example, if someone bombs a school and a lot of kids are slaughtered, they'll often use a verb that's really tough. This is a tough verb when you're talking about killing people. Macbeth confronts Macduff. Remember, Macduff had formed an alliance with Malcolm, the son of King Duncan, and he confronts her. He gets into his face and says, "You can't kill me. I'm invulnerable. If you're invulnerable, it's impossible to hurt you." I would describe a lot of castles as being pretty invulnerable. They're hard to take down. They're made out of stone and rock. I guess you could blow them up, but it's really hard to burn them down. Macduff, however, he's a good guy. He reveals that he was born via cesarean section. Nowadays, when women have babies, they'll either have them naturally, or they'll have a a surgery that's called a C-section, which is short for cesarean section. It's an operation where the baby is pulled out of the mother by the doctor.
Right, so I guess that's technically not being born of a woman, so yeah, she has a C-section, hence not of woman born. At least his mother brought him into the world through a C-section and not actual natural childbirth.
Yeah. There.
So Macbeth knows he is beaten. He knows that he's been beat, or I should say he's been beaten. That's the past participle there. And he's still determined to die fighting, and Macduff kills him and cuts off his head, and that brings peace to Scotland. What a way to end a story. Lots of people get killed, and Macduff is the winner here. He defeats Macbeth, and that brings peace to Scotland. So Scottish people are free to wear their kilts and play their bagpipes and be really happy and vote to separate from England maybe someday. Who knows? But in any case, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续看故事的发展。故事发展到 Duncan 他的儿子，他呢，其实当时他跟 Macduff 两个人就联合起来，然后他们的军队呢，就在向邓锡嫩山丘前进的时候， Macbeth 在这里他其实是有一个驻扎的加强防御的阵地。我们看到句构，这里逗点再接 where， 好，我们知道这是关系副词，指的就是前面这个地点，在这个地点它有一个加强防御的阵地。接下来我们继续看，所以呢他们很聪明，这个士兵啊就用这个森林的树枝做伪装，结果看起来就好像是一个森林在移动一样，那果然就成了女巫预言里面成真，原来说不可能的事竟然出现了。我们再来看到 Macbeth 一知道这样子的事情对他来说当然是一个打击，而且后来他的太太自杀了，这让他的对生活感到绝望。我们注意到这个句子 He despairs of life， despair 这个字通常我们把它当名词，可是这里是动词，后面再加 of， 表示对什么事情失去了希望，对生活感到绝望。后来 Macbeth 其实他说起来也很可怜，他开始渴望死亡。看到渴望 long 当动词，如果你说你渴望什么用 long 当动词，后面接 for 再加名词，接 to 再加动词。我们看到 Macbeth 杀了很多人，其实最后呢另外一个女巫的预言竟然出现了，因为她对上了 Macduff， 而 Macduff 就告诉她，她真的不是 born of woman born， 她是由剖腹产而出生的。这下子 Macbeth 知道她完全失败，而最后其实她也就被 Macduff 杀死了。好，我们今天讲解到这边结束，我们下次见。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for Macbeth, and next time we're actually going to talk about some of the themes and ideas in Macbeth, so please join us then. It's going to be a wonderful show. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.